Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Annie.
And guys, I was off last week, and it's been a minute since me and Annie have done a little solo episode. I'm excited.
I miss you.
I miss you, even though I see you like every day at work. Even though we spend probably 5 days a week together. But yeah, I mean, I missed last week. So last week I was doing a lot of like fashion stuff. We had our big designer event at work. And the first day, the brand that I rep for the store had an event in store. So Annie wasn't there that day, but she was very busy after. Annie, you went to some fun fashion shows. Like you were doing the damn, we both did the damn thing.
Yeah. I love fashion.
Oh my god, it reminds me of me and Zach used to play this clip on the podcast. If you're a longtime listener, you know it's that clip of from Drag Race. Is it fashion? But it's fashion. What is it fashion? It's fashion. Yeah, I mean, me and Annie texted each other after this whole little like event that we had at work for Fashion Week was over. It was like a four-day event. It was honestly, I think I slept like 9 hours in 4 days. Like it was chaotic. My feet hurt. I was crying. I literally was crying. I hated it. But we were like, we were so proud of each other. Like we ate that up.
We really did.
It was one day. We work at a really big store that's like 7 floors. And there was one day that I checked like the end of day reporting on who made the most money in the store. And me and Miss Annie were in that top fucking five. And there was like stylists visiting from all over the country, like in our store, and me and her ate that shit up.
Yeah, they wish they could, but they can't.
They wish they could be us, but they just can't. Anyways, back enough of the fashion. We have like 4 fucking episodes to recap this week, so yeah. Let's get right into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I'm on a mission to serve Lisa, and I love that for myself.
I own a beauty empire, so I don't need any of your lip service.
I keep my friends' clothes, but my secrets closer.
In a town full of dirty lies, everyone can use a bath.
I may be Greek, but don't expect an olive branch from me.
Having faith in myself is the only religion I need.
I had no idea you were Mormon.
I was married in the temple.
And then I was excommunicated for my brother-in-law for 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you thought you were a bad Mormon.
Shut up. Your husband's brother?
So my husband's sister, her husband.
So last week I was the most upset about missing the episode because of Salt Lake. Y'all know I fucking love Salt Lake. Those are my girls down. They just have a place in my heart. Like they really do. And I was so mad that I was missing the premiere. But I will say, a little quick from the first episode I want to give y'all. Monica, icon, legend, moment. I want to say, how the fuck was Bravo able not to have that moment leak? Like the whole, she was an informant for the FBI against Jen Shah or Secret Service. She worked for Jen Shah. Like we met this woman or heard about this woman while they were filming. Everything leaks on Bravo these days, which I know, Annie, you hate. I hate. I like light spoilers, but like something like that, I don't want to be spoiled. And I'm just shook that they were able to keep that under wraps until the first episode, especially when people got screeners and stuff. So like wild, right? I'm just like, oof.
Yeah, no, I really like to watch that shit unfold IRL. So IRT in real time.
In real time. Other than that, like I loved Monica. The return of Mary was fucking amazing. Mary is an icon, a legend, and the moment, and she further proves it in the second episode. But yeah, I loved the first episode. I think it was fucking great. We picked up right where we left off. The ghost of Jen Shah was kind of still looming over us, but it was like in a camp.
I think she will be for a while. I think so too.
Like she really left her footprint on the American government and also on this show and on the lives of countless elderly people who she stole their life fortune of. Anyways, yeah. Let's get into the second episode. So
yes. Wait, yes. The second episode. Do you know why I'm so excited?
I know, Annie. You have to give the listeners. Okay, I know we have a lot of Drag Race fans in the It's About Bravo universe. Annie, give your little Drag Race experience, which is wild because you've just started this.
I'm a late bloomer to a lot of things, as I was to Housewives as well. But I just, I mean, I think I texted you guys a few months ago on our threesome group chat. And I said, you guys, I have something to say and please don't be mad at me. And you were like, what bitch? And I said, I just discovered Trixie Mattel and I'm obsessed with her. And I'm so sorry that I haven't been following her this whole time. But you were like, go watch. And I was like, I've been watching it for 4 hours, like in my bed. I'm obsessed
Annie
with her.
Literally in like, I would say a few weeks, watched every episode of with Trixie and Katya. And then you went to watch Drag Race All-Stars. What was your trajectory?
Yeah. So then I watched the All-Stars that Trixie was on. Then I watched Moving Parts. Then I went, now I'm watching season 7 with Trixie and Katya. Oh, wait, no. Then I watched Katya's All-Stars. I went so out of place. And then now I'm on season 7. I haven't finished it yet. Trixie just left. And Katya is still there. Don't tell me what happens. Because I don't know. Then I am watching Trixie Motel, but I haven't actually finished yet. So actually seeing the hotel in this episode with a little bit of a spoiler that I don't like, but it's okay.
I mean, that was like years ago. Anyways.
I know, but that doesn't matter. In my life,
it's right now. In your life, it's right this second. It's wild.
I haven't finished the pool yet in my episode that I'm on. So
I never finished Trixie Motel. I watched like maybe like 3 or 4 episodes one time. But and the hotel's stunning. So I only saw it. I went to Palm Springs back in April and I only saw it from the outside because there's like that big
cactus garden.
Yeah, the big cactus garden. And there's a restaurant right across the street. That's a really good restaurant that we ate at, I think, twice while we were in Palm Springs because my boyfriend and I and a few friends of ours were there for 10 days. So we like, I was there a little longer. But yes, Palm Springs is like super, it's pretty. It's the desert. And I was like, oh, I want to go back. This episode made me want to go back. Also, I want to stay at Trixie Motel. We have to book it. It's so fucking, like, the cinematography of the episode, we're like jumping around, but the end of the episode where Angie and Whitney are in the pool and like they're wearing pink and the pink's all around them. I literally was like, wow, this is Barbie. Like, this is Greta Gerwig could never. She wishes. She wishes she could. So the episode, we have like, it wasn't like a lot of drama going on. The episode starts with Meredith and Lisa meeting up for the first time in like years. They really haven't had a one-on-one scene. And it made me like, they had that montage of their friendship. And I was like, wow, they were really like best friends for 10 years. And like this hot mic moment really ruined it, which I get because Lisa did eat her the fuck up, drag her for every amount of filth that she could. But like, it was.
But I say that kind of stuff about you all the time.
All the time. Bitch, I said it about you this morning.
That's friendship.
I called you a garbage whore literally 10 minutes before we started recording.
I love it when you, I take it as a compliment.
I said you fucked half of New York yesterday. Like, what? If you can't get mad at your friends and call them a piece of shit garbage whore and say that they're fucking fake and their family poses, then what can you do?
You didn't really say that about me, though, did you?
No, I didn't. I would never say that about you. I love your family and I love your husband. I would never go there. But honestly, like watching them together and like talking about their families, because like they were so close. And then the fact that the last 2 years, all they've had is kind of like the show and fighting and the Jen stuff of it all. Like they really didn't get into personal lives with each other in the last 2 years. And then seeing them kind of like recap all of that. And this is the first time that we get Lisa telling Meredith about Jack's mission, which seems to be a focal point of the season. It's Lisa's tagline, which we got the taglines this episode. Lisa's is, I'm on a mission to serve Lisa. Like, what? That's something like that, right? I don't know. Guys, the taglines weren't great. They weren't great. Yeah. Whitney's was good, but the delivery could have been better. It seems, especially with Heather and Whitney in the next scene. So we have two scenes of them kind of making of friendships, making up the OGs.
Well, hold up. Let's go back to Meredith because she got a new stylist. And I said earlier, like in the first episode, that she doesn't really know like what she's dressing for. And her showing up on this walk in Laquan Smith pants was weird.
Guys, I would like to say both Annie and I have seen these Laquan Smith pants. I've sold those Laquan Smith pants. They are the heaviest fucking pants. Mm-hmm. Those like blue, silver, like they're not latex. They look like latex almost, but they are a heavy, like hieroglyphic fucking material. Yeah. We can't even keep them on hangers. Yeah, like vinyl. We can't even keep them on hangers at work. They fall off. They're so fucking heavy. She wore those on a walk with those fucking boots.
And Velvet boots.
What is she doing? I couldn't. Lisa, on the other hand, cunt. Served cunt. Yeah, and if you guys don't follow, Annie, do you follow them? The RHOSLC fashion? They do one for like every city. They do.
Yeah, there's one post.
Yeah, no, there's a lot.
I'm just joking.
You're following the wrong one.
Because there's not a lot of fashion there. That's why I was joking.
I get it. But they broke down like Lisa's outfit, and like she's wearing like a Brunello t-shirt. She's wearing Louis Vuitton pants, like Celine shoes. I'm like, even in her like casual, she serves cunt. Lisa's just so like effortless with her style. There's a difference between like New York effortless, which is like Jenna Lyons, because she's just like effortlessly cool. And Salt Lake is like effortless, but like serving trend and serving cold, if that makes sense.
You have to have a lot of really cool coats.
A lot of cool. Lisa has cool coats, and Meredith's coats are weird. Like the Balmain fur blazer, I never even knew they made that. I've never seen that in production.
I mean, it's cool. I said last episode, I'm just like, it's weird. She never dresses like appropriately. Like those Laquan Smith pants are kind, but like wear them to like the club, like, or something,
or like a fashion event or a party. Those are like a great party with a good top. What a waste.
Yeah.
For a walk. So anyways, we have Whitney and Heather at the same time kind of mending their friendship, which I keep thinking, are they going to show clips from RHUGT3? Because they keep talking about like, we haven't had a one-on-one in a while. And we know that Girls Trip filmed after season 3. Yeah. So, yeah. And are they even going to reference like Thailand? Like, oh, remember that moment we had in Thailand? Like, I feel like they are, especially with how OC referenced it and showed a clip from it this week. And I was like, oh, a little crossover. So I feel like that's was a major point in their relationship. And I feel like they have to kind of show some part of that. But it's weird because you can tell that like Meredith and Lisa are actually mending fences, and like Whitney and Heather are just, it's a facade and they're doing it to move storyline along. Like Heather the entire time was talking about Jack's mission.
Yeah.
And it was like, Whitney was just there like defending Angie and how she loves Angie now. And Heather's like, yeah, I fucking hate that bitch. And then you have Lisa and Meredith actually making like, they're repairing their friendship, which I thought was great. Cause I really want to see those two back together.
Yeah. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it. I feel like Meredith holds on to everything and she's just really weird. And I just never know like what she's going to do next. So we'll see if she like actually doesn't bring it up again, but I feel like she will.
I mean, I
feel like they're even. Like, I feel like they are even. Like, she dragged Lisa for an entire season to make up for that. So I feel like they really should just be done with it.
I mean, she even said, she was like, we both were in the wrong. Like, we both did things that are wrong. And like, I just want to move forward. I can see those two making an alliance again. And I think they like have refollowed each other on Instagram. I feel like they're back. The girls are back. The dolls are back. Which I would hope.
Following each other. It's really getting out of hand. But
now the inbred cousins, those two, I never want to see back on the same page. I want to see them fighting for the rest of the time that they're on this series. Like, I just, it makes me real happy. So I think that Whitney's messy boots, and I think that Heather is just like such a tryhard that I really feel like it's a recipe for disaster, and I want to continue to see it be volatile, disgusting, and I want their friendship and family to be over. I wish them nothing but the worst.
Heather is a tryhard, and I think she's just always going to be jealous of Whitney for just like being accidentally iconic. You know, hot.
Hot and hot. Like, Heather wants to be hot so bad. And it's like, girl, you can be hot. Honestly, though, I do like, we're going to get, this is Annie and I, so you're going to get a lot of fashion that you wouldn't probably if like Reed was on. I do like, no shade, mama. No shade, Ms. Reed.
No, total shade.
No, honestly, absolute shade. I do love Heather's. I wish that the titties were sitting better, but I like her Gucci confessional. And I do love that she repurposed her intro, like, cast photo Bottega dress for one of the confessionals. I will say right now, color the listener shocked, Heather's winning the confessionals for me. I think that she has the best ones so far. Monica's also are good, but I just know the clothes is cheap and flammable and synthetic. I know it's real cheap.
Well, I don't know. I just, I hate how they're like two different girls though. Like that's what I like cohesiveness. I think that you should like pick.
They are two, very two, like one is like sexy, yeah. like Gucci little corset. The other one's like yeah. cheap Bottega dress.
Yeah. It's weird. I wish that she would like pick a style. Cause I feel like she's a little lost just in her life and her style reflects that. So I don't know, but.
I hard agree. So we get Seth and Meredith who are starting a podcast and like, no,
this is hard out here. Not everyone.
It's hard. Guys, this is not easy. This is not easy. It's a lot of work. It's a lot. We can barely get one fucking episode out to you. And there's like four of us running this. Like,
well, and I think that you and me are like a lot more in love than Meredith and Seth. So
I absolutely agree. I think our chemistry, even from this Zoom, is
palpable.
The listeners can feel it through their car radio, through their headphones, through their AirPod Maxes. They can feel the love. And I did not feel any love between those two. But in that scene, we get the Trixie callback, which she's like, my friend Trixie, we're going to go to her motel, which I think like in throughout all of the years, we've had such ridiculous like trip storylines. CC, Megan King Edmonds trying to find her lost cousins in Ireland.
Hi, are you my mom?
Are you my cousin? Like, no, bitch. But getting a drag queen as the focal point of why we're on a trip. Not just any drag queen.
Necessary. Trixie Mattel.
Necessary. Yes. Iconic.
The best drag queen of all time.
Also, the fact that these women are in the Mormon belt and just like the Church of Latter-day Saints of it all. And then we get the LGBTQ like icons. Like they are really, they're fighting for gay rights.
Yeah.
One of them has gay in her last name.
Do you remember when Heather Gay was like, people were commenting and being like, that there's finally like a trans housewife. And she was like, I'm not, but I'm happy. To be a supporter of your community.
That reminds me of like what last season of Drag Race with Mistress and her like interviews. They were like, she's a big girl, like a big, very big plus size drag queen. And they were like, you know, what do you think about like the big girls like finally making it this far in the race? And she was like, I'm not a big girl, but my heart goes out to those who are. Oh. It was just so funny.
Guys, drag queens are funny. I just found that out. No one told me.
No one told you drag queens are comedy queens? I will, saying that, like, Annie, you're making yourself sound very MAGA right now. Annie is, as she just started watching Drag Race, but I will say in our friendship, we have been to hundreds of drag shows together, and Annie is the first bitch to run to the ATM and be like, no, why? We need cash. Like, told me we were coming here.
I was like handing out ones to everyone else. If you guys put a one in her boob.
Give her money. We've also gone to.
You guys just took the ones together and put them in your pocket, and you owe me $5.
We went to the gay strip club recently together and Annie gave me, she went to the ATM and took out a bunch of cash and I tipped the whole thing. Now my boyfriend, that one is a scam artist and money manipulator. And I am for certain that each dollar went into his pocket for sure. And not to those strippers. There was, we're going off to the hot topic here, but there was a point where one of the go-go boys, literally full ass out, little twink with the fattest ass, started doing the Blue Ivy dance, like the. And yeah. Annie got up with him and started doing it the entire time.
Like, no, I was sitting down. I didn't do all
that. No, bitch, you were drunk as hell. You stood up and did that dance with him and it was iconic. And we made it rain on that little twink. He got more money than any of like the beefy straight dudes dancing. He was throwing ass. Anyways, all that to be said, Annie is an LGBTQIA+ supporter, ally.
And I was being sarcastic. Obviously, drag queens are hilarious. I do that.
I know, but sometimes it doesn't, like our love, it might not translate to the listeners. Okay. Your sarcasm might not translate. So we have to let them know that you are not Aaron Litchi and supporting to Donald Trump on January 7th.
Oh, love the gays. Love the gays.
Period. That part. Speaking of loving the gays, we meet Angie's husband for the first time, who's a hairstylist. I was a little shook and taken aback because Angie, as we all know, was a friend last season, but we didn't get any of her personal storyline, which makes sense because she's a friend. But we didn't even get the fact that her and Heather went to high school. If I'm mistaken, I don't think that that was even talked about last season.
No.
Yeah, I found that like kind of wild that like I'm like, oh, wow, they have this entire connection where class of 1992, which is the year I was born. So
me too.
Oh, my God. It was just wild to me that I'm like, wow, we are learning so much. So her and her husband run over 10 salons in Utah and cosmetology schools.
Can't believe we bought that house just from owning salons. That, like,
I mean, I think we're going to get into the Angie where her money comes from story. It seems from the trailer that there's a little bit of a Jennifer Shaw going. As Whitney said, you charge them, spin cycle, keep it going. Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be, Heather says that she washes her money through these businesses. Listen, one thing is, if you come on Housewives and you got money, you better be able to show the U.S. government where that money coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
She's washing it in the shampoo sinks.
She's washing it in the shampoo sinks, much like her husband is watching his Grindr profile. That he's kind of hot, kind of daddy.
Okay.
Yeah, if that's your type. I know Zach was kind of, no, he's probably too young for Zach. I would say their relationship was a little interesting. Angie's looked the same since they first met. I thought like it was a lot of like face work, but she really has had that long face her entire life. I was really
I don't think anyone would have that long face constructed, you know.
It looks like a character from Recess, you know, that that girl, the nerdy one in Recess with a real long face. Yeah, that's very much Angie. She named her daughter Electra.
Yeah, so that's something.
That's something. The pink dog, Electra. Like, has she had this life all the time, or is this a life that she's like making for the cameras? She feels put on for me a lot.
Yeah.
Which except I didn't.
She also doesn't feel very skilled at putting it on, if that makes sense. So I kind of almost wonder if that's just how she is. Do you know what I mean? Because she doesn't seem like she's good at faking anything. So I'm not really sure yet, you know?
I feel like this could be her life. Like, it actually is her life. And it's not like she really has been putting this on for years, if that makes sense. I think that there's a lot there, and I'm really interested to find out more.
Let's talk about Monica.
Yeah, let's get into her. I love her.
Yeah.
I think that she is an icon, a legend, the moment. I think someone said, like, why are we just on Instagram? Why are we just getting like Monica in season 4? Like, why didn't we get her in season 1? I'm like, because she was poor, bitch.
Yeah.
No, I mean she's still poor, but no one wanted to see her in season 1. We needed to, the storyline needed to build. The Jennifer Shaw of it all needed to build. Monica. Yeah. The house, the mom, the family.
I'm mad at her mom. How dare her mom deprive her of having a relationship with her gay dad? Because that would have been fierce.
Now, coming from the mom's point of view, I can see where she was a little upset by the situation.
Well, but coming from the daughter's point of view, I would be very resentful towards my mom to find out that I could have had a gay dad in my life this whole time. And you kept me from that.
It's almost like, do you know how Fran Dreschner from The Nanny has that like whole husband situation where they were married for so long, then he turned out to be gay and was cheating on her. And then they became best friends and started a production company.
I love that.
And now they like live in the same like mansion together and are just like platonic soulmates.
That's how I would be for sure.
I love that. If your husband ever comes out, like, I think you guys would be great friends.
Oh, I would love that.
You would love that. Annie did take her husband to a gay sex leather bar recently. And she was like, go say hi to boys. he was like, no.
I made him wear one of my leather vests.
She did. And I'm really sad that I missed it. But I could see it all. I love that. Monica's storyline of the... First, I mean, the bomb, the gag that's dropped later. We'll get into that in a second. But the Louis Vuitton storyline made me a little sad. Like, it is camp, and it was funny in the trailer. But the fact that she went to the Louis Vuitton store and bought a bag, because I wanted to have something nice around these girls.
And she bought that bag? That was sad.
That was sad. That's a bad bag.
Yeah.
That bag, the thing about Louis Vuitton to me is it doesn't matter what bag it is, it will always scream Canal Street or DHgate.
Yeah.
Always.
If you're going to get like one, if you can only get like a, you know, a couple or like one like designer handbag, go with something more like that you could carry every day. That's not as noticeable. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was just a
gaudy ass gold chain. Yeah. I fucking hate that bag. I've always hated that bag. And
on doing that every day.
Let me just say one thing. Yeah. To get your one designer bag and for it to be white.
Ew.
That you only, you only get white bags, mama, when you got money down.
Money
down. Because there's one thing about a white bag. It will always have denim transfer. For a woman who wears that much denim, because she did show up to the airport in denim. And believe me, I saw that that bag was pressed up against those jeans. Girl, denim transfer. That's how you know she's poor. That's how you know she doesn't have nice bags. Because you don't know nothing about bags. That, your bag is ruined. The fact that, like, jumping around again, but the fact that she kept being like, Sanny's in the LV bag, Sanny's in the Louis, those girls could not have cared.
Hard to watch.
Could not have cared less about that cheap ass shake and go bag. Poor thing. Okay. Yeah. Let's get into Monica and Heather at that dress consignment type of store. Did you notice that Heather gave her the dress? Monica looked at the price and then put it back.
Yeah.
Heather's like, this is great for you. And she's like, oh, thank you. Look down and then put it right back on that rack. She said,
she
no.
Wasn't buying anything.
Yeah, no, her sheen was filled in her suitcase already. She was packed and ready to go.
Well, and then she said that she got kicked out of the church because she was fucking her brother. And then she said in law. And I was like, okay, because if you were fucking your brother, that would have been just fine with the Mormons in the state. Yeah.
That would have been great for the Mormons. That would have been on theme, on par.
But brother in law. No good.
Okay, brother-in-law, I was like, okay, so her husband's brother. But then when we got the breakdown that it was the husband's sister's husband, I let out the most audible gasp and gag. Mm-hmm. It was, and this was a line from Reed, so I'm not going to take credit for this. It was Monica's Gag Race, much like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ooh.
I was gooped. Let me tell you, that woman has had two bombs dropped in two episodes. What are we gonna get episode three? I'm kind of obsessed. Like, also, she's really fucking hot. Like, I think that her glow up is just gonna be like fashion wise and like bag wise. And I think that her confessionals are fucking great. Like, no face work needs to be done. Like, she doesn't need this immense glow up, kind of like how Whitney is in her very much hair and makeup, like Erica Jane era. Like, when Whitney showed up to that pool in a full high tight pony that was done by a hairstylist with a red lip.
Hot.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you're feeling yourself. And Whitney and the husband, brand new big ass fucking horse teeth. The husband especially.
Yeah.
He debuted his at the reunion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Whitney debuted hers quickly after.
Yeah, new chompers for sure.
That's how you know they got money. And the matching Fendi shirts at dinner with Angie and her husband. I was like, tacky.
I didn't care for that.
I didn't love that.
But yeah, I do love how, because actually when they said Trixie, I did remember that Whitney has done a lot of drag queen stuff and has been with Trixie before. So I love that she was like, she's actually my friend, so I'm going first.
I love that. That's very you. She's like, she's actually my friend. I'm going to go mark my territory first.
Yes. Yeah.
Very, very you vibes. But no, it's true because Whitney's done like a few collabs on Trixie's channel and she's done like events with Trixie, performances with Trixie, like, and other drag queens. Like, Whitney's very much a supporter of the gays.
If I were Whitney, I would talk to the producers and be like, when Trixie shows up, will you put on the bottom of the screen, Whitney's friend?
Yeah. Make sure it does not say Meredith's friend. It says Whitney's friend. And you could tell. You could tell that they had something between them. They were friends. Yeah. They were absolutely friends. So we get Whitney, that back to the horse chomping scene. We get Whitney and Justin and Angie and her husband. And they're talking about the trip. And Whitney's messy boots the house down. She knows that Miss Angie's not invited on this trip. And she's like, we're going on a girl's trip. And I think that you should like come as my friend. Messy, and I love it. And I think that Whitney has, like I've said this before, Whitney's always been kind of like the producer of Salt Lake City, even though she doesn't have like the finesse that Tamara has. She's still producing, or the bone collecting that Sheree has. Like, she's still that producer and she's making a storyline happen. And I live for that. I live for mess.
Yeah, she's pretty good up until like drink 11, and then she starts kind of showing all of her cards.
She, as soon as the alcohol gets in her, any type of producing that she has started just goes out the window because she starts to tell on herself.
Yeah, literally.
Instantly. So we get the women traveling to the Palm Springs airport, which is a very tiny airport. It's like, it was trauma for me. I was like, oof, this airport. Lisa and the ring, 60K. That's wild.
No, Monica took it.
Now, I'm not saying that as soon as I saw that scene that I felt that Monica took it. So Lisa's story is that she was pulling her pants down and the ring was caught in between her jeans and then it got lost. And I'm like, okay, it's a very small bathroom. I've been in the Palm Springs. There's like two bathrooms in that airport. Yeah. It's very tiny. Everyone in the airport was looking for it. No one could find it. My favorite part of that entire scene is where Mary's like, I don't think that ring was worth 50K or 60K. Yeah.
I think that if you lose something and you're asking people to look for it, maybe don't yell out that it's worth 60K.
I think that is super plausible. Like, don't go running around with a dollar amount that high.
I would be like, hey guys, I lost my ring. I got it from a claw machine. It's not worth anything, but it's sentimental value. If you see it, let me know.
I got this really cheap fake gold ring, but my son gave it to me and it means a lot. Does anyone know where it is?
Yeah.
The fact that she was like, John, my ring. I left it at the airport. I don't know where it is. She did not let that fucking ring go, though. I mean, honestly, like, fair. Fair. It was fucking 60K.
I just know that the next episode, we're going to get a scene of her going to the bathroom when she gets to the hotel, and it's going to fall out of her panties.
Or out of one of the pockets of those fucking cargo jeans.
Yeah.
It has to. The fact that Monica had her hand in the used tampon machine.
Yeah, because she was going to take it. I would too.
She said, finders keepers, bitch. Then we get these women get into a Sprinter van, which we know Salt Lake City in a Sprinter van is all hell breaking loose, which it didn't this episode, but there was a lot of shade thrown with Lisa on the ring where she was like, I'm going to call my jeweler. I think it's insured. Monica being like, bitch, I don't own anything over $10,000. And it's like, yeah, baby, you don't own anything over fucking $5. We get it. Yeah. Mary sitting there. Also, I want to say, Mary, budget was upped on her hair. She fabulous hair.
Finally.
She really had those shake and go wigs for a long time. And I always will relate this to Portia Go Naked hair to me is the best hair in the Housewives franchise. Mm-hmm. And that was no Portia Go Naked hair her first three seasons. Now this is giving Portia Go Naked hair. It had texture to it. It was wavy. It was, the bangs were banging and she was feeling herself. You could tell.
Yeah.
She was sitting there ready. Also, when Monica gave her the chips to Lisa and she was like, please don't get crumbs on my clothes. I don't like crumbs on my clothes.
I love that.
Mary was so over these women's bullshit. So we kind of end the episode with the women. Whitney texted them and said she was taking a separate flight. So the whole Sprinter ride up, they're all just discussing where's Whitney? Much like Jenna Lyons, she did not fly with them. And we end the scene with her and Angie at the hotel picking the best room. And the women are walking in. And the cliffhanger of all cliffhangers is, dum-dum, Angie's on the trip and they're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, they also don't even know that Whitney is there already.
Yeah, they don't know that Whitney's already there and already chosen her rooms and already chosen her.
She's going to be really mad because, you know, she's like, Trixie, my friend. I wanted to come have a scene with Trixie first.
Oh, Meredith's going to blow up. We do get the trailer of Meredith being like, you can leave.
She's crazy.
She's so crazy. Also, the slur. I loved the slurring with Lisa outside where she's like,
do you want me to talk about her husband and things that he does? I'll fucking go in there.
That another Xanax and like fucking vodka cocktail that woman has. Salt Lake is honestly, it's becoming one of my favorite franchises. Like, this season is picking up so fast. We get an episode that could be filler on another franchise, but it's building the story up for the next episode that looks chaotic. And I think this is good for Salt Lake because season two of Salt Lake had that trip, which was just chaotic from start to finish. There was six episodes of chaos. And I think we were all like, this needs to be over now because it was too much. And they're slow building us now. And I'm really excited for it. I'm loving this season of Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Love it.
I agree.
Let's get into the Real Housewives of New York City.
done with this combo?
Speaking of wife's wife, whatever this wife thing, would you be mad if she made that comment about David?
I don't give two
Uber stuff.
You would not give a f*** it off.
Don't ask me that. I'm a terrible person to ask that.
Just hypothetic.
Get out of here, Uber. You know that noise.
I don't like stuff like that. I get very
weird. She doesn't.
They're defending Brynn, and they say they don't care. Liars. I'm not even taking Aaron's side. I'm taking a married woman's side. I know how I would feel. It would not fly.
Get out of here.
Hypothetical.
Don't look at Dar.
I so much appreciate Uba right now. Like, she's just such a loyal friend. She fully has my back, and she's speaking up when nobody else did.
So the women are still in Anguilla. We are on episode 2, day 3 of this trip. I will say this episode of Roni, they're giving us a lot of, like, fast fights. They make up quickly, and then we get a sob story in between. It's kind of like the formula that they've been giving us with each episode. Sai's story about her mom was super fucking sad, and it gave me, like, a soft spot for her because she hasn't been my favorite all season. I think that she is just kind of complaining. But that's super fucking tough, and she was, like, vulnerable, and she opened up, and I was like, it made me feel for her, and it made me feel like all of these women are actually getting so close with them. Like, they were all kind of like, even Aaron, like, sobbing during it, and like Uba, and yeah.
They were trauma bonding.
They've been trauma bonding from episode one.
Yeah. I think that, with having new housewives come on in this day and age in general, but especially with them, you know, rebooting this cast, I think that there are times where it's kind of apparent that they really did cast this show, as opposed to in the past where it was kind of like built around a friendship kind of thing, you know? So that has at times been apparent. I think that was something that we all were very worried about. The one time though, like the one thing that is kind of making it work a little bit is that we are actually able to watch them kind of learn about each other and like make the friendships. So if this continues, then I think that we have a lot of hope for like the next seasons. Cause it's like, we are actually watching them in real time, build friendships and learn about each other. And then we're also learning about them. So it's kind of working out a lot better than I thought that it would, honestly.
Yeah. You can like going back to like Roni season one, like those women all had like such long standing friendships, like Ramona. I mean, Sonia came out of season 3, but they had been friends for 20 years and you had like Jill and Ramona who had known each other.
Yeah, it was like there was friendships within the group and then, you know, they didn't all necessarily know each other. So we've got a little bit of some people meeting, but also that kind of lasting friendship thing. And I normally like more of that combination, but this is nice to kind of see them around the table telling stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nice to see them because they're also not just telling it to each other. They're telling it to the audience, to us.
Right.
So we're getting both sides of it. I will say that there's a rumor floating around the Instagram, the TikTok, and the Twitter that Leah McSweeney could possibly be coming back.
That would make sense.
It would make sense to me. I would have been saying this, and if it happens, I'd love for it to happen. I'm sure it's a fucking pipe dream, but I think
that Tinsley could come back too.
I think that that would be fab. Okay, I think that Tinsley would need to be a friend because they do need a friend of. I feel like they need someone around and we've already learned so much of Tinsley's life, which doesn't really fully reside in New York. So I think having her on as a friend of Leah would be fab. Like, to me, the thing with this Roni is like, especially the Anguilla trip is, where's the fun? As Vicky Gumbelson said, we used to have fun. We used to giggle and laugh. The fun is gone. Yeah. And the like Leah, I know the thing that the audience hates about Leah is that she doesn't let shit go, but these women move on so quickly. So having that juxtaposition of where Leah doesn't let shit go and these women move on quickly, we could meet in the middle where shit lasts a little longer than a dinner scene.
Yeah.
They're getting over shit a little too fast for my liking.
Well, I mean, they keep on like still bringing up the whole like Jenna's real name thing though, that happened like a couple episodes ago, completely bullshit, by the way. Who the fuck cares what your real name is? Like,
I think it's stupid. And I will say, let the record show, I did say that I was team everyone else and not Jenna, but just for like throughout the overall whole season, very team Jenna. In that moment, I was just not team Jenna because I wish that she would have just been like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable flying coach. I have this skin disorder and I've opened up to Aaron. And Aaron, I don't really appreciate the fact that you brought it up as a fucking dig. when I told you about this genetic disease that I have and how I am insecure about it. And yeah, that was a really shitty thing for Aaron to do.
Yeah, I always just felt like her saying the coach thing was like half truth, half just her kind of trying to be cheeky. I believe that the main reason was the insecurity. And I would be the same.
I also I also probably believe that one of the main reasons was she didn't want to fly coach, which who the fuck cares? You're Jenna Lyons. You're a gazillionaire and you made this name for yourself. Like, yeah, I don't want to fucking fly coach.
I was thinking? At first, when I was watching that all unfold, I was like, bitch, go to a tanning bed. And then I was like, do tanning beds still exist?
They do at like your local Planet Fitness.
Okay. Got you.
Yeah. I've seen them time and time again. And I have been one to use them.
Yeah.
I used to do,
what was it called? Oh, a double dip. If I had to go on a trip or something. I mean, I don't really like the sun. I'm scared of it, but then I'm really, really
pale. Annie hates the sun.
Yeah. So, and I'm like really, really pale and I used to bake myself, but if I did have to go on a trip or something, or like wear a short dress or whatever, and my legs were going to be out, I would go do a double dip, just really light, like a 5 minute in the tanning bed. And then just like a little spray tan right after. It was a perfect combination to give you like a natural glow. But you know, I don't know if people still do tanning beds.
I don't think they do. I think it's like bad for your skin. We're all like about clean beauty and like sustainable.
Oh, it's very bad for your skin. I wear SPF 50 all over when it's raining.
I don't know. I think that like going back to the Leah thing, I feel like even if they don't cast Leah, they need a chaos agent who's going to be a little bit messier and hold on to that messiness, which I do think that Leah is not one to.
I think it's too soon for that though. But I think it's too soon for that right now. I don't need that right now. I think that would feel disingenuous if I was watching that happen right now. I feel like it's too soon. It would feel like it was put on for the cameras. I don't need all that. I feel like there's just enough messiness going on. Like,
so I think that I know what's going to happen though. If they give us like a Leah and then like Tinsley guest appearance or something like that, that people are going to be like, what we ordered in the mail. And it's going to be like Sonia and Luann, what we got in store. You know, like I can see those memes coming already. I can see them from a mile away.
Cause you're going to make it.
No, I'm not. I want Leon. I just want like, I don't know. It's familiar.
I think that would be good for like the next season. Like I think.
Oh,
like,
totally. I think right that now. This season is wrapping and I think it's going great. And I am loving every episode of this franchise. Yeah. I just think
but
that
why
like.
Why is Sai so hungry? Does she have like worms or something? Like.
Someone on Twitter referred to her. I think it was Elvis's boyfriend, friend to the pod, Mike, who referred to her as a hungry bitch. He said, get that hungry bitch off my TV. And I could not, truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah, it's like really, like it's like the center of all of her thoughts all the time. It's crazy. Her life revolves around food. It's a little
even
weird.
Did you notice in the second, when they went to that beach in the set, like at the end of the episode, the second like lunch where she was like, oh, is the food just going to be here already? Are we going to go up and get it? Like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that food? And it's like, bitch, calm the absolute fuck down. She needs to get on some Adderall or something. Like, mama, you need to not be hungry. It's not a cute look. Like, it's 2023. We're not eating. Duh. Girls are on a Olympic.
I was watching an episode of Drag Race recently and it was like someone won this award of like skinny something or whatever. And they were accepting the award and they were like, I just want to thank the tapeworm.
That's exactly what she had.
Nice stomach. She has that.
She has to have that. I mean, it's getting old at this point. We do have, so there's like a few focal fights in the episode. We have Uba finally picking us, not finally, but Uba, you know, she was out for a few episodes. So her picking a side in the Aaron, Bryn, Abe the Babe fight of it all.
We needed that
because it was like, okay. And then we have Jessel kind of being messy too. She was the one that kind of insinuated it where she was like wife swap, not dress swap. And then Aaron Bryn's like, cut it the fuck out with that shit. Then you have Aaron kind of going in. And the way that Bryn was trying to gaslight Aaron into apologizing to her. And Aaron was like, I'm not apologizing to you.
Yeah, I like that Aaron stood her ground. And I like that Uba stood up for her. I think that someone needed to. And I mean, I'm with her. I feel like I'm married. And I think that, you know, when you are married, typically, unless you're like Drew and Ralph, we'll get to that later. You are comfortable enough in your relationship that like flirting and stuff, that's not going to like cause an issue in your relationship. And flirting is like fine. Like, you know what I mean? But I think that it's still okay to get annoyed with people and be like, oh, you took it a little too far, or like, whatever. I mean, it's like a totally fair thing to kind of call out. Like, and I think that, yeah, Brynn doesn't remember how things happened. I think she's like alluded to on Instagram that she like now watches it back and does feel horrible. And then I think that, but like even Jessel, the way that she was like so hardcore being like, she never said divorce. She never said divorce. I was there the entire time. And it's like flashback a million times. Yes, she did.
Yeah, she totally did. It was like the kind of the main thing that she was saying where she was like, if you like, you know,
it's too, I get it. It's too far. I think it's like, whoa, calm down.
Yeah, it's also just like at the middle of my like vow renewal. It's just like not cute behavior. She didn't own up to it. And these two just can't get along because right again at the end of the episode, they have the fight about the egg retrieval where Brynn's like, the doctors made her go in her sperm to try to find, or go in her phone to try to find sperm for embryos. And Aaron's like, no one would do that. Like, they just wouldn't. That's not something that someone would tell you.
I also don't believe that.
I don't believe that either. I think she was just trying to be funny and she was... She
doubled down on it. And she said that she wasn't trying to be funny. She's like, this is real. This happened. I'm like, what? You need to go to a different sperm bank. I think you were at PNC.
Mama, you was at the local Planned Parenthood trying to get sperm. They don't do that there. Okay. They do the other stuff, which is great. We love that. I think that, I don't know.
Loyal customer.
Yes, very much. I'm a stan. I've taken many of my girls to Planned Parenthood. Not because I've been the one impregnating, but I've just been the one supporting. I've been the supporter, holding the hand. Anyways, I think that like, and then Brynn getting so worked up about it and not going to the dinner and being like, it's not because of you, Aaron. I just like, I'm really drained and this is a lot. And like, everyone gets one sit out. Like, no, 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 no. You cut that out right now. No one gets a sit out. This is your first season of a reboot where we're all getting to know you. You show up to fucking everything and I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it. Show the fuck up to work. Yeah, it's quite literally your job. We also get a moment where Jessel starts to tell, they are like, Jessel, you haven't opened up. Like, what's your family? Like, what's your story?
Who asked for that?
Her personal story. And then she starts with her personal story with, it was like Jenna and the puppy and the Miami, it lost me, where she was like, they were in Kenya and then they weren't in Kenya. And then we went to London and then Issey Miyake. And then I was like, what are Yoko Yamamoto found my uncle? And I was like, what the fuck?
Yoko Ono.
And then John Legend was there. And then we actually founded the Beatles as a family. And it was really tough living in that type of limelight because Stella McCartney took the place that I should have in fashion. And that's it. and that is my trauma.
I think they like immediately regretted asking her to open up. They're like, okay, sorry we asked.
And it went on for like ever. And they were all just so fucking over it. And I feel like obviously in the next episode, that's going to be a point of like them bringing it up with, you wanted to kind of have a soft story like Brynn or Aaron, or not Brynn, Brynn or Jenna or Sai. And it's just
everyone else basically had one and you just don't. So you were just like trying to make something up.
I like how Aaron hasn't had a sob story. She truly has just been like, yeah, I've been rich the whole time. And like, I'm working. Like, that's it. That's all you got.
And I think people have said that Jessel went to a very fancy private school and like actually like grew up just fine. So I don't know, but whatever.
Apparently she went to a very wealthy boarding school, but then she tried to debunk those rumors and then the debunking was undebunked. It was a whole fucking thing. I believe that she is just so like aloof and very much not in on the joke. And I stan and I love her deeply. Like, she is mothering to me. And then we have kind of like the preview for next week shows the Uba versus Aaron thing. And I'm like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
With the snatching of the glasses off the face. And I'm like, oh, we're finally getting somewhere. Not that we finally need to get somewhere, but it feels like real drama is happening. And I hope that they don't like, I hope they don't just like blow over that one too. And it's like, okay, sorry that I snatched his laughs off your case and like made you cry. Cause there was a clip for next week where Aaron's like about to sob. And I'm like, girl, toughen the fuck up. So the reunion for Oni films today, as we speak, they're currently filming. I'm excited to see where it goes because somebody, much like Dumois, we're like the Dumois of Bravo, somebody tagged us that they were in Flatiron and saw Aaron and Brynn together before the day before the reunion.
That's cute. Well, yeah, I think that they're
mainly cool. Shopping.
They're good now.
I know, but like they are kind of the main fight, I would think.
Yeah.
Right. What do we think about reunion seating? So Andy,
what episode are we on? It feels too early to tell.
I think we're not too far off. If the reunion's filming today, I think we got another 4 episodes, I would say.
Okay. So I would say Jenna is going to be close to Andy.
Yeah. I think Jenna and Aaron on opposite sides of Andy.
But Jenna and Aaron should be on the same couch.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. But either that or...
And then on the other couch is going to be like Jessel and Sai. Sai could easily be next to Andy.
No, but I think that... I don't think so, though. Because I think that Jessel and Sai, that fight starts next episode. And I think it's going to take us to the end.
Oh, they're going to start fighting?
Yeah, because it's, you know, the clip in the preview where she's like, the math ain't mathin'. Why is your husband in Vietnam?
Okay. So then Brynn would be across from Aaron? Or
what would make the most sense would be to have Jenna, Brynn, maybe Jessel, and then have Aaron, Sai, Uba.
I just cannot imagine Aaron and Sai being on the same couch, though.
I think that they've kind of like maybe mended fences because I think also Brynn and Sai are not good.
Okay.
You know what? This is a guessing game. This is what Reed loves. Reed loves this shit.
I mean, I do love it, but I just think that there's been a lot of like, it's like a spider web at this point. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like I don't feel any strong alliances. That's the thing. That's the one thing that we are missing because they haven't been friends for long enough. There's definitely no alliances and things could go anywhere.
They shift at any point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that anyone's friends with anyone. Listen, I'm excited to see. I'm excited for next week. I'm excited for her to snatch those fucking Celine glasses right off her goddamn face. Anyways, let's get into the Real Housewives of Orange County.
I'll get it.
Coming.
Did you put alcohol on this? Just kidding.
Oh my God! Be in Mexico without me! Oh my God!
So I invited Vicky to Mexico. She wasn't sure if she's gonna make it.
I'll have to ask Linda.
Who's Linda? Oh, your office manager?
Nevertheless, go anywhere.
To have the Trace Amigas back together again is everything.
Mexico.
She peed. She peed. Oh my God.
I am so excited you're here. Like, I want to start to cry.
By far, the best memories I have are with Vicky and Tamara. I mean, some of them may be blurry.
I love that, Tamara. I love that.
But that's what girlfriends are for.
I think we have one too many drinks. Okay, well, why not?
We are still in Playa del Carmen. Every Housewives is on a trip right now, every city. Well, except for Atlanta's on their reunion, which is a trip to New York. So all 4 are on a cast trip at this moment. OC to me is, I missed last week's, you know, podcast episode, as we know, but that fight between Heather and Emily was invigorating.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Okay.
I loved it. I thought that they were each holding their own. I think that Miss Emily has been looking for a moment all season, and she thinks that Heather's going to be the one to give it to her, and Heather's giving her very much, like Sheree, I'm going to give you for the rest of the time on this couch. And I just thought that Heather very much owned that. And this, we start the episode with where we left off last episode, which is the continuing at the end of the fight, basically, where Heather storms off from the table. I think that what I've been saying all season, what we've all been saying all season, is why the fuck are we coming for Heather Dubrow?
Yeah.
Like, in what world?
Yeah, they're making fools out of themselves. I can see. I love Heather. I always kind of have, but she makes a lot of sense. That's the thing. You can't really go toe to toe with her too much because she's never gonna like be that nonsensical bitch. At the end of the day, like if you're gonna like debate with her, she's always gonna make more sense, which is exactly why the only option you have in that moment is to start yelling. I mean, it's kind of like, I've seen this shit a million times. When someone's coming back at you with logic and calmness, then you get mad that you're like losing the argument and you just start screaming like a kid. And that's very much what Emily was giving me. And I think they're all kind of making themselves look like bullies. I think even if you hate Heather, everyone is team Heather.
Yeah, I think even if you hate Heather, you know that she's really not done anything to deserve this kind of gang up. I will say, I've always said this, Tammy Sue is one of the smartest housewives to ever play this game. Even when people call her out on her bullshit, like the end of the episode with Jen calling her out, she's still like, yeah, so what? I think the fact that she was the only one to get up and like talk to Heather, she knows that she can be the only ally for Heather and it'll like make them closer eventually next season. And I will say, reunion for OC filmed last week and Heather, Taylor, and Tamra went and got dinner after.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very interesting.
I think that there must be something even more behind the scenes that Tamra has to offer. I think she must be like weirdly charming because she is... It's strange how she is able to really be so messy, talk shit, produce, and still be allies to like many different people. And that's why she's able to get in the middle of stuff. Like you have to
listen. Also, if you're a Big Brother fan, or if you watch The Traitors, which I know Annie, you watch, Tamra's low key the Ceri of Housewives.
Yeah,
like the way that she makes you feel so welcomed after stabbing you in the back and making you feel so loved. Like she really was the kind of the catalyst to this whole Heather Dubrow takedown and is the one with no blood on her hands, which is a famous Survivor Big Brother saying, I don't want to get blood on my hands. Like,
yeah.
Miserably.
Yeah, she's the master at it. I mean, and they all know that too, is the thing. Like they all know it
and they said it.
Skeptical. And somehow she like wins them over slowly. And it's just like, I think she's just like that fun girl. Like they just like to hang out with her. So they're like able to kind of like put it aside. But yeah, she's...
Or do they know that she's making good TV, so they have to put it aside for the sake of their livelihood?
But you can make good TV and be a fucking monster and have people hate you. And you're still going to be like thankful that person's on the cast, but you don't necessarily need to be like friendly with them or like any of that. Like, and I think that... Or go to dinner with them. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. Yeah. It's like...
I mean, we all have coworkers we hate, like much like I hate you.
I hate you too. But you know what really pissed me off? I know like this is a little bit later in the episode, but it really pissed me off how when Emily brought up the thing about the Snuffleupagus and Heather was like, okay, right, I see what you're saying. Like, fair enough. And then it cuts to Emily's confessional. And she was like, Heather's not interested in having a conversation with me or understanding where I'm coming from. And it's like, she just said.
She literally just said.
Where you're coming from. Like, what are you talking about?
Emily's the Snuffleupagus thing was so camp to me. Because when she was just sitting there and she was like, he was my best friend growing up. What do you mean? I loved him. He was my best friend. It wasn't an insult.
I believe it.
And I believe her.
I think she was referring to like her hair being fluffy because Emily said about her hair being fluffy from the water. Fluffy, Snuffleupagus. I mean, I get it. Heather would never intentionally make a fat joke. Okay. Let's just be really real for a second.
I'm just kidding. I did the X over my mouth, y'all. Not fat joke.
I don't think that she would.
I don't think she would either. And also, the only time I've ever heard Snuffleupagus like in a like reference was I had one of my really good friends, Kat. We used to work together like a decade ago at Givenchy, and she used to always say that she wore big fake eyelashes at the time, and she was like, "Oh, these Snuffleupagus, they're like going up." Walking in with my Snuffleupagus eyelashes. And she used to call them that like every day. And she's like, literally, like, it was the era of the big fake lashes back in like 2013.
Well, and they were talking about how Emily's lashes were still on and none of her other makeup was still on. So maybe that is.
So maybe Snuffleupagus, that's what they were referring to. A big, hairy, not big, just hairy person or creature, you know?
With good eyelashes. That is a compliment.
It is a compliment, honestly. speaking of Emily, where she goes, I was laughing at the confessional. Listen, Emily is serving this season. She's serving down. She's becoming a housewife finally after five years. When she was like, listen, I can apologize to Heather and all I can say is that I'll probably do it again. Yeah. I was like, and very reminiscent of that Portia moment where she's like, the only lesson I learned is that I'll do it again. I was like, yes. We get Vicky. Vicky comes in. Corey Gumbelson.
She's so annoying. Yeah, the way she screams at the door. I remember that in the trailer. It's like, oof, she's so crazy.
Poor Shannon is so mentally unwell and just in a bad place in her life. You can tell that the second that Vicky walked in, she started crying because it was like familiarity. And she knows that this trip is going to be hard for her because a lot of the storyline of the season is revolving around her. And she's like, this is going to be tough. And I have somebody who's a safe place coming in, immediately starts sobbing. And then later in the episode where she's sobbing about her body and the bathing suit.
She cried a lot in this episode.
Well, she cries a lot in general. But I will say Shannon was at a different place body-wise a few seasons ago. Like she looks great.
Yeah.
Even in her confessionals, Shannon looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think that she should give herself more credit. And she finally opened up at that dinner about the real relationship problems with her and John, where he doesn't want to spend time with her and he never stays over. And I think that that's just a major red flag. Obviously, we know they're not together in real time. IRT.
Yeah. But it does also seem like, I get what she's saying, where it's like, it's nothing like in her mind, but to what she's saying, it's nothing like crazy. It's not like abusive. It's not like wild. It's just that like kind of normal kind of, we've been together for a while and maybe a little bit of the magic is going away. That's like typical. Obviously, she's not saying everything, but I'm just, from what she has given, it's like, okay, I would be like, yeah, that's fair. It's like, you know.
I mean, she did say at that one party, though, like, our problems are that we have debilitating arguments that literally make me physically.
And I am paralyzed and I can't walk for days.
I can't even leave my bed. He will not sleep over. I don't know. I don't really care enough about Shannon and her relationship. I do love the way that it makes her fly off the handle, but I don't think anyone really cares.
No, I like the storyline surrounding it of let's get into the dynamics of who's talking and who said what. And I think it was just so crazy that she was like, yeah, because Heather likes to talk about my relationship and talk about this. And it was like, but a couple episodes ago, we all saw and you even saw and you called it out that everyone was talking about your relationship. So I just don't know how you're putting this on Heather. Like they've all admitted to talking about it.
Admitted to it. And Heather is allegedly, because Heather's the only one that knows, I guess, aside from Tamara, the vault. We've heard about the vault so much.
They're jealous of Heather.
They are 55 million, life-changing. And that's money that could buy you not fake designer like Jennifer and her fake designer. I will say that I clocked it as soon as that Balenciaga cardigan a few episodes ago was on. I was like, now, mama, you should be embarrassed of yourself. And the fact that Tamara calls it out at the end of the episode and she doesn't
cocked and loaded.
Loaded. She was ready to call her out and she didn't even say anything about it. She knew it was fake. I did love the confessional moment where he was like, what's your dress? And she was like hiding the Mugler and she was like, it's Mugler. This is real. And then the retail $980. The bags though, I don't know how you come on reality TV and have fake items. Also, I don't think I've ever told this story on the podcast. I had a run-in with Jennifer at work. She came in late one evening and I couldn't recognize her. She had a big kind of hat situation on, not a fedora. It was weird. Anyways, she came in looking for a specific Stella McCartney denim and was like, oh, I have a few other denims, and was like, tried on a bunch. She was not very nice at all. It was weird because I did look it up and I was like, wait, is it her? After a while, I was like, is this Jennifer from OC? Then I looked at her story and she was in New York for Watch What Happens Live. So I'm like, oh, this is her. And yeah, she was kind of an asshole. She left the fitting room a complete fucking disaster and a mess, which I hate. I'm like, this is not your local Zara. I don't even do that at Zara. I put everything back in a hanger and give it back to the fucking associate at Zara. God damn it, those clothes are worth less than $100.
You go to Zara, they tell you when you're going to the fitting room, they're like, make sure you hang everything up.
Literally, make sure. And I do. It's not nice. I'm not making – these people don't work on commission. Even if you do, like us, we work on commission. I'm not – these are – $1,200 pairs of jeans. This is premium denim, mama. This, she was trying on like two Dolce dresses too, and like they were $4,000 dresses. Like, do not leave that shit crusty
on the floor. Ground.
On the ground now. Someone has, I'm not doing it, but someone has to steam that now. It's not going to be me. Some a stock person will do it, but I love them. Oh. God bless them. Yeah, just an asshole. But I was thinking, this made me think, like, she could not afford those jeans, bitch. Get real. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I always get a little bit of a jump scare when it goes to her confessional in that low rent black swan look.
It's bizarre. It's like very much, it's not much. You were talking about cohesive confessional looks. That is not one of them.
No,
not at all. We get more into the Jennifer Ryan. I almost said Ron like last season. Jen and Ron. We get more into that of it all. And then we have kind of Tamra once again throwing the bomb and then gaslighting Jen into believing that we're friends. Like, but we're friends. Like, I'm sorry, we're friends. So the bomb that she drops is that this Alex girl that he was cheating on her with, Tamra says he was cheating on her for a year while they were together. And apparently there's a text messages that's like, you were naked in my bed. And Jen saw this text message and forgave him.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm over it. I'm like, okay, so he sucks. And we all know that now. And we've known it for a while and whatever. I mean, I think honestly, Vicky's right. Which she's like, we have to realize it ourselves. Like it's, you can't, yeah, she'll realize it eventually. You can't keep on screaming at her about it. And also to slip in an insult about her fake designer stuff while you're doing it, it seems mean. Like it's not going to get through to her.
Yeah, it doesn't seem great. And it's like, I mean, Gina said it best where she's like, yeah, but she's choosing to be with this man. So at this point, we have to just be like, she's chosen this life. She's chosen this man. And there's nothing we can do about it. So let's stop bringing it up. The woman is sobbing in front of us. It just seems mean at this point. I will say, though, Miss Jennifer ate Tamra right back up and gave her the fight that Tamra was looking for when she was like,
yeah,
it makes you feel relevant. Like, you're bringing shit up about me to make you feel relevant. And Tamra's like, well, you're not relevant because you don't talk until now. And it kind of was like, I feel like Tamra was a little proud at that moment. Like, oh, I got something out of her. Like,
you could see on her face. She was like, finally,
I'm giving you a Housewives moment. And you know, off camera, off season, those two are going to meet up and have a drink. And she's going to be like, you don't understand that I was doing this for you. I was getting you a spot back on the show.
Yeah.
Because it's true. Without this, without Tamra antagonizing Jennifer, where would she be?
Oh, I've said this from the beginning. My judgment is very held out on Jennifer still. And I could be wrong, but I'm just saying that like we have not seen her get activated, do anything in any scenes that is not about her relationship. So if it wasn't for the other women bringing it up, she wouldn't have anything to talk about. So I think like if and when her and Ryan do break up, I would be curious to see what she would look like as a housewife then, because I just don't even know what she could give without that. So, I mean, yeah, Tamra's making her relevant.
Tamra is making her relevant. And I also like, so Vicky was the one that brought up this first, which is like, we were both with a man or
Vicky doesn't know how truth or dare works.
She doesn't. She was like, I'm just going to read you for filth. You're with a man that you shouldn't be with, much like I was with a man that I shouldn't be with. And we know
by
it.
By the way, which one?
Yeah. Which one, Vicky? Because was it Steve? Was it Brooks?
The list goes on and on. Or is it the one you're currently with? I'm sure he's a mess also. I mean,
I'm
God.
Sure of it. It has to be. It's one of the three. It's not Don. Don was an angel. Let's tear that up. I do like how Jennifer was like, well, Vicky, I don't know. I didn't really react to it because you haven't been around this group for so long. And Vicky's like, because I got fired. I was fired. Say it again. I was fired. The fourth wall and them keeping that in. And then that's when we get the RHUGT2 moment where we get a callback to that, which I thought was great. And I think it's interesting to have Vicky kind of thrown in the midst of this without any, there's no skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We can take her, we can leave her. I like that she's just kind of a guest floating around. I would say, I mean, she's kind of more of a, Taylor hasn't really done anything since the Montana trip. So she's kind of more of like,
yeah,
a friend than Taylor's being. She's really inserting herself into this drama. There was a moment too when Vicky came back when Gina was like, I know that Vicky like hates us and I don't really care. I think it's a little weird that she's here. And there's just a flashing of these headlines where Vicky wants Gina fired. Vicky hates Gina.
Yeah.
I did love that.
Yeah, no, I like Vicky as a friend of. That's all I need from her. I did think it was funny when they were getting ready. Shannon said, "Will this cheapen my look?" As she was wearing a cheap ass, again, ill-fitting sequin type blazer. I was like, could anything cheapen your look any more than it already is? I don't even know. That was a crazy question.
My daughter said this would cheapen my look. Your daughters were right.
Yeah.
Listen, oh, yeah. I'm loving OC more than I have been in years. We've all said that. It's one of the best seasons. I think they have a recipe for greatness here. I think Taylor, let's keep her around. She has enough to like kind of step it up again. I really, like I've said countless times before, I want to see, don't talk to me like that, you little bitch, Taylor. I think she has it in her. I think she'll come out sooner or later. I'm loving OC. We're going to do a quick little Atlanta reunion, like less than 5 minutes, guys, because honestly, like it's a recap of a recap and not much has happened and we're kind of ready for Atlanta to be over. Let's get into a quick little Atlanta recap.
I would also have to say, you know the most about taking breaks, Sheree.
Taking breaks?
Yeah, you said maybe I should take a break. And,
yes, because you guys
know the most about taking breaks.
Lackluster, so they always have to bring me back. I've been asked that more than I've come back, so. And I've made history. Respect to OG, honey.
Okay, I think the biggest moment, y'all, from the Atlanta reunion was the Drew and Ralph of it all. I mean, for three episodes, it was kind of the biggest of it all. Take a shot every time I say of it all. I've been saying it all episode. Here we go. Anyways, so it's revealed that Drew and the lesbian affair, Sheree got printed text messages sent out to the chateau. Where does she get these from?
You know, I don't know. This whole thing is a mess. I don't believe Ralph. I don't believe Drew. I don't really think it matters. I think that they're both just messy. This whole relationship has been a mess from the beginning. I thought it was really immature the whole time that they were both talking about acting jobs. Like, oh, how was that audition? Oh, did you kiss so-and-so? It's like for an acting job. Like that is so immature. That's just like such a sign that they just have a horrible relationship. Anyway, none of this is news, but I mean, I feel like it's obvious that Ralph was stepping out before Drew was. She might have stepped out, like, but a lot later. So I don't really care about any of that. I think that I think that what Ralph was saying about the adoption actually did make sense to me. He was like, the only reason to adopt is abandonment, abuse, or a death. And he didn't want to do that, you know, because the father was still trying to be a part of the kid's life. And I totally get that. But then if you weren't going to do it, then you should have never talked about it. You should never plan on doing it. And you shouldn't have wrote that dumbass book. It was like, I don't know, putting the stomp in Stomp Father or something like that. I feel like that whole thing was so stupid. But I also loved seeing Kenya talk to Ralph when Drew walked off. That was the most sense that Kenya made all season. And that's the Kenya that I love to see. She like kind of read his ass for filth, but she let him respond. She was like logical. She was making sense. It was great. Honestly, I would love to see more of that. And I think that's kind of what was missing the whole season.
I agree. I think that she finally was interested in the storyline. That's why she was kind of like, oh, this is finally something that I could see being worth my time. Another thing is I hated when Kenya was like, we have the two sides of Kenya, that side, which I loved. Then the side where anytime that someone said something about Courtney, who she hated, she was like, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right there. And it's like, Kenya, no one cares. Like, let the mouse fucking go. We have to talk about the final moment of the reunion with Drew singing her breakup song to Ralph while he was there. And it felt so Love and Hip Hop coded, but also so camp at the same time. And then Andy being like, she's singing to him. And Kenya being like, yeah. And then you have Sheree and Candy just head bopping away, listening. Mm-hmm. Ralph, I will forever use that reaction meme of Ralph sitting there, like, just deadpan with not a single tear in his eye, just like, burr. It was, honestly, get Drew back. Get her back. Get her back next season.
I hated it,
but I loved it. Get her back on my screen.
The way that you just take anything that is dumb and weird and just call it camp.
It is camp!
Yeah, sure. Wait, I did write down what Drew said. What you got is a Birkin and some memories, bitch. I don't even remember who she said that to, but I thought it was great.
I thought it was fun. It was honestly fun. Do we think that Courtney and Ralph are kissing cousins?
Yes.
Yeah. And Drew did tweet, Courtney is from Tampa.
He went to visit family. It's so innocent.
Yeah, family. I'll tell you that. Gross. I feel like Courtney kind of, if it was a regular season of Atlanta that was good, Courtney could come back. But since it's so bad and we need to kind of recast, like, we'll never see her again on our screens.
Yeah. I think that, did you notice the way that Andy was snacking on the plum, like, just kind of throughout?
That poor moment of Drew from the last reunion episode where she threw the plum. It was just so bad. Those are the moments that kill me with her. She's just not in on the joke and she thinks that she's constantly doing something that she never is.
I can't believe she hasn't learned her lesson about the props. She just keeps on pulling them out. They're like, where are you getting these props from? She's like, I came in here a day early and stuffed all of these pieces of fruit in the couch cushions.
Into the couch so I could have them. And it's like, girl, it is just not landing. The stuff with her and Ralph was so uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. And it was like they were both kind of fighting for their 15 minutes because they knew it was kind of ending.
Yeah.
And it leads me to believe, like, how much of it is real. I don't know. It's just, they're bizarre to me.
Oh, if they get back together, I will scream. Like,
fire them right then and there. Even if they renew her contact next season and she's like, me and Ralph are working on it. I want a black screen to come up and I want it to say, Drew has left the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I don't want to see any of that. I didn't even want to see any of this, quite frankly. But, like, I don't want to see any of that. Like, I'm so done with their fucking storyline. Like, it's ugh, ugh.
I'm truly done with the both of them. And like I said, I don't think I have much more on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I think that we are kind of excited to see where casting goes. I want them to take their time. And I think that it's a much needed break.
Agreed.
Period. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know where to find us, About_Bravo, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of the things. Patreon below. We are due for another episode. Reed is not leaving me alone about it, which is fair. We're going to do a few. We have another Big Brother one lined up. Hopefully I'll do a Roni recap soon. Old Roni, because I'm still in the midst of watching that.
I want to do that.
Let's do that. I'd love to do an old Survivor one or a Survivor one when Survivor comes back. We have a lot of stuff planned. Be patient with us. Thank you guys, all of you who are subscribing to the Patreon. It means a lot to us. It's our little fun passion project there. And if we can get 1 to 2 episodes a month out for you, that's just a little bit of a bonus. I feel like it's well worth it. It's linked below. Thank you guys so much for listening again. Bye.
Bye.